The holographic brain. If there is an energetic duplicate of your body in the source field, wouldn't that mean your entire brain has a holographic duplicate as well? Maybe so. This raises an even more controversial question. If all the DNA in your brain has an energetic duplicate, then could this holographic brain somehow be responsible for at least a part of how you are thinking and functioning? Is a part of your mind working in a hidden, unseen, parallel reality right now as you read this book? Do you have a perfectly identical holographic brain that somehow interacts with your physical brain, using the DNA within every physical neuron almost like an antenna? These are intriguing questions. We've already given stunning new evidence to support the idea of an energetic mind in chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, but now it's time to look at some additional biological research. In 1997, the New York Times reported that brain-damaged children actually improved their level of intelligence and physical coordination by having the entire hemisphere of their brain that was damaged, or should we call it the broken antenna, completely removed. If you lose half your brain, shouldn't you lose half of your memories and half of your ability to function? Apparently not. This finding astonishes even seasoned scientists. And according to Dr. Eileen P.G. Vining of Johns Hopkins University, who studied 54 different children who had the operation, "We are awed by the apparent retention of memory and by the retention of the child's personality and sense of humor. This kind of extreme operation is obviously not an easy thing to persuade any loving parents to do, but it works." Johns Hopkins published a newer version of the same study in 2003, now involving 111 children who had the operation between 1975 and 2001. And showed that 86% of them became either completely seizure-free or at least no longer needed to take medication. Dr. Eric Kossoff explained what a seemingly miraculous effect this procedure produced. "It's clear now that the quality of life of children with chronic, severe seizures greatly improves following the operation. In almost all cases, the children no longer depend on multiple medications, and postoperatively, most of the children are walking and running and living normal lives." In 1980, Roger Lewin published "Is Your Brain Really Necessary?" in the prestigious journal Science, discussing the work of Dr. John Lorber, arguably the world's top expert on a condition called hydrocephalus, or water on the brain. In these cases, cerebrospinal fluid backs up into the skull and builds in pressure with no way to drain out. In the most extreme cases, the skull can become almost entirely filled with fluid, leaving hardly any visible brain tissue at all. Many of these patients die or are severely disabled. Doctors now correct the problem with surgical shunts to drain the fluid, but in Lorber's time, this was not being done. Lorber studied a total of 253 hydrocephalus sufferers at the University of Sheffield in London. Of this group, 9 of them only had 5% of their regular brain tissue left, which would appear to be an utter and complete tragedy. Nonetheless, 4 of these 9 people had IQs that were greater than 100, and an additional 2 had IQs greater than 126. 6 out of 9 were fine, other than the fact that they were almost completely missing a brain, as we now think of it. Here's a direct quote from Lewin's paper about this astonishing phenomenon. "There's a young student at this university," says Lorber, "who has an IQ of 126. Has gained a first-class honors degree in mathematics, and is socially completely normal. And yet, the boy has virtually no brain. The student's physician at the university noticed that the youth had a slightly larger than normal head, and so referred him to Lorber simply out of interest. When we did a brain scan on him, Lorber recalls, we saw that instead of the normal 4.5 centimeter thickness of brain tissue between the ventricles and the cortical surface, there was just a thin layer of mantle measuring a millimeter or so. His cranium is filled mainly with cerebrospinal fluid. Again, in case you didn't catch that, Lorber is saying the only brain tissue left was a 1 millimeter thick layer against the inside edge of the skull. According to Patrick Wall, a professor of anatomy at University College London, this is nothing new. Scores of similar accounts litter the medical literature, and they go back a long way. But the important thing about Lorber is that he's done a long series of systematic scanning rather than just dealing with anecdotes. He has gathered a remarkable set of data, and he challenges, how do we explain it?